Hey everybody, it's JT from Grilling at the Green. John Breaker and the great folks at Birdie Ball have a short time offer for all of you listeners. You just go to birdieball.com, and when you place your order, there's a place on that form for a discount code. Use GATG. That's GATG. Of course, it stands for Grilling at the Green. And you will get 20% off anything you order from birdieball.com. Now, it's a short time offer. It expires in about a week, so you want to get on it. Go to birdieball.com, place your order, use the code GATG, and get 20% off. You heard it here on Grilling at the Green.
Now it's time for Grilling at the Green. Join Jeff Tracy as he explores the golfing lifestyle and tries to keep it in the short grass for the dew sweepers, hackers, and turf spankers. Now here's Jeff.
Open up the door and let it good time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Grilling at the Green. And thank you for having us on your radio this morning. I'm JT, along with Camaro Dave, who's out in the parking lot, bringing you stories from the world of golf and on the golf course, in the clubhouse, and about the folks that make that little dimpled white ball fly. Today, I've asked our good friend Bruce Furman to join me in the studio and talk about the Ryder Cup and a little bit about the FedEx championship that's ending up this afternoon. And we'll be talking more so about our chances and some of the players in the Ryder Cup. Today's show tunes will be Paul Revere and the Raiders, taking a little trip back memory lane. Of course, you and I can remember those
guys. I can
guys.
Remember Paul Revere
and
the Raiders.
Yeah. This segment is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. Welcome, my friend.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's always
beautiful
good.
Day, huh?
It's always good when you're around.
Well,
it's
I appreciate it.
Always good
it.
When we get to talk about golf, too.
Golf is great.
Golf is great. Ryder Cup is coming up, and we have got some pretty good players. And, you know, one of the things about the Ryder Cup, and with the President's Cup, but not quite as – there's not quite as much emphasis put on the President's Cup. But there always seems to be this, who's going to be the captain's picks, and who's going to – you know, the little intrigue, if you will. And then all they got to do is wait, you know, till September, and then they find out. But it's always kind of interesting. But – it's a big deal for the touring pros to be on the Ryder Cup.
Huge deal. You know, I mean, this is, you got the four majors and then this tournament, and I think this trumps them, actually. So,
yes.
You know, it's the biggest thing in golf. Every 2 years, and it's the Super Bowl, it's the, you know,
yeah,
Grand Prix, et cetera. So.
Well, and it's got a good history. I mean, Samuel Ryder and that whole story, and we don't have to go into that right now, but I find it very fascinating, especially some of the dynamics, and I think you can address this better than I can, Bruce. But you take a guy like Colin Montgomery, and now that mantle has kind of been passed to Ian Poulter in a way. They had good careers, not stellar careers, but they had pretty good careers. And they played in the States, they played in Europe, they played in, you know, Sunshine Tour and all that stuff. But when it comes around to the Ryder Cup, those guys hit another gear for some reason.
Yeah, Monty, he loved the Ryder Cup. He loved playing for his. That's a lot of pressure to play for your country, for
yes.
your other team members. But he rose to that. He loved that. So a lot of guys shrink, but he didn't. He was the opposite. He loved playing for his other players and his country.
Yeah,
countries, I guess.
Oh yeah, and I think Poulter's kind of, like I said, picking up that mantle a bit.
Poulter's picking it up. Patrick Reed on our side. I kind of, you know, that 2016 match between Rory and Patrick, you know, you kind of want to see that again, but wouldn't be bad to see Poulter and Reed.
Yeah.
Those are the two fire brands of
yes.
each team, so that'd be a great singles deal, particularly if it was at the end and they were like the last ones.
And you're coming, you know, down to a pointer.
Coming down to a point. Yeah, yeah. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that would. You would have some ratings, TV-wise. You would have some ratings.
I guarantee you.
Because I love the Captain America brand for Patrick, because regardless of what you think of him, I think he's a great golfer, and he's always there. But he, like you said, he is kind of a firebrand. And that coming through for the country and patriotism and all those different accolades, that boy gets fired up.
You know, they say this golf course, because the way it's built, it can hold like 60,000 people, whereas some of the other venues didn't hold that many people.
Right.
So 60,000 Europeans mostly, few Americans, and then Patrick Reed jumping around. You know, you can imagine what it's going to be like.
Oh sure. Oh sure.
Waving and throwing the arms up and so forth. So should be great.
I don't know if it was Nick Faldo or Frank Nabilo, but one of them tweeted a picture of the grandstands, and I don't know if it was the 18th or the first tee box, but they were like, yeah, this is the real grandstands over there. And it was huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those last four holes are really tough from what I understand. I haven't played it, and they have grandstands and they're really hard. That last hole is like a 471 par four with an island green and, and has all the grandstands around. So it should be pretty fun, pretty exciting.
I'm looking forward to it. So let's talk about some of the players here. We've got 4 or 5 minutes where we have to go to break, so we'll kind of get started on this. Our number one as far as the points and qualifications was, Brooks Koepka, and theirs was Molinari. And to me, they're kind of two different style of players, but they're both powerful players.
Yeah, but Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, and Tony Finau, they're all bombers on our team. And, of course, Tiger's pretty close to them right now. So it looks like they're trying to set this golf course up to take away that advantage, So it's going to, the way it sounds, they're going to tighten in the fairways and the rough's going to be up. So it's going to be a lot of irons and fairway woods and stuff off the tees. So they're trying to, I think, take away our bomber's advantage a little bit. But that could backfire because these guys can, I think it's going to really help somebody like Tiger. He doesn't have to use driver as much.
Yeah.
He's like number one in approach to the green on strokes gained, So if he doesn't have to hit that driver, he may just, play really good. And of course, Phil, he's pretty wild off the tee. So if he can hit irons and fairway woods, I think it's to their advantage. But they're trying, I think, to take away our bomber's advantage. So we'll see how that works out for them.
Well, I like the analogy when they were talking about Brooks Koepka. I don't know who actually said this, but they said, you could throw a set of pads and a helmet on him and seeing him coming across the secondary in any NFL game, the way that guy's built.
Yeah, no question. He works out like a fiend, and he does look like a linebacker. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's strong. Whew. Really strong.
But, old Tiger, he's hit that three-wood stinger many a time and pulled his fat out of the fire.
Well, he's leading today, five under, and he's hitting his driver better. But, boy, if he doesn't have to hit that driver, I think that really helps him. He may have a great Ryder Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin Rose, I'm a big fan of Justin Rose. He's just kind of a very consistent, he can hit the ball well. He's got some distance and that type of thing. But he's one of those guys who just kind of keeps going to me. He does that. And that's kind of their number two spot on the European side. And for us, it's DJ Dustin, like you were saying. He's a big bomber, but sometimes I know these guys don't intimidate Justin Rose, but he can pick them apart sometimes.
I call Justin Rose kind of the Nick Faldo of modern era. He's a technician, and he's got a little more speed than Faldo had, but very similar. Taking apart the course. So this course should fit him really well. I think he'll be tough, for their team. But Dustin, Dustin's got that personality. You don't know what he's thinking. Of course, he's got a few family problems right now.
Sure.
So I don't know how much that'll affect him or not affect him. But if you take his driver away, he's pretty good with the long irons too.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets to hit a 2-iron, they have to hit a driver. I give him an advantage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and I think you're going to see, like you said, a lot of iron play there. And I think you're going to see some real depth in the technique of some of our guys that we think of as only as bombers. If they can come out and play those long irons and keep it in the short grass, as you like to say. We have a shot at this.
Well, I think we have a good, we're favored, of course. this golf course was designed by a guy I used to work for, a guy named Bob Von Hagee. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Devlin and Bob Von Hagee designed many golf courses. And Bob, I used to argue with Bob some about some of his designs because he liked to take the driver away from people. He liked to narrow it down out there. And I used to tell him, you know, if you go down the driving range anywhere in America, what club do most people like to hit the best?
Right.
The driver.
Right.
What club do most people like to watch on tour?
The driver.
Right. You know, and this looks like they're going to take that driver out. There might be only a couple holes where some of these long hitters are hitting drivers. So I used to argue with him. I said, you know, how many two irons do you see out there on the practice range? He said, I think we should, but that's how he designed it, really hard. So I'm going to say this course is going to play really hard. I think only like 12 or 13 under has been winning on that golf course when
sure.
they played their European Tour event. So it's a good match play course.
We'll see. We're going to take a break here on Grilling at the Green. We're going to be back with Bruce Furman, talk some more about the Ryder Cup, among other things, right after this. Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT, along with Bruce Furman. Today, we're talking about the Ryder Cup. A couple of things, a little business to take care of. Our friends down at Langdon Farms, where Bruce resides part of his life, would like to tell you that they are redoing the bunkers, and they're going to be doing it over the course of the winter. Maybe Bruce will tell us more about that. So they're going to be refabricating some of them, maybe changing the design or the shape or whatever. So just to be aware of that, but it's not going to inhibit your play at all because they're not doing them all at once. And if you would like to email us, you can do it at golf@alphamediausa.com. That's golf@alphamediausa.com. Now back talking with Bruce Furman about the Ryder Cup coming up. Oh, my papers are going all over everywhere, which that's not a big surprise. you know, you've got John Rahm, who's fairly new, and Rory McIlroy, who's kind of seasoned. And this is the European stuff. And then you got, of course, Tommy Fleetwood. And then you've got some players on their side of the roster that maybe a lot of people aren't, unless they follow golf closely. Tyrell Hatton, Alex Noren, you know, Olsen, some of those guys. They're not really very well-known names here in the States compared to, you know, of course, we're going to follow our own guys closer. But these guys are all pretty good. You look at their numbers and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're, you know, I forget what's the highest, I think, let's see, 44. I think Olsen's 44 in the world rankings. He's the, you know, the lowest.
Yeah.
Or highest, however you want to put that.
Sure.
You know, I think our world rankings add up to 144, and theirs add up to 220. So, you know, we're more highly ranked on world rankings system, and we've got a younger team. They've got an older team, so that could play into it a little bit too. But sometimes youth is stronger than veterans. So we'll see.
Well, we'll see, because sometimes, you know, old age and treachery can outdo youth and enthusiasm.
Well, we're hoping so with Phil Mickelson and
Tiger.
Yeah. They've got Stenson. He's 42, I think. So
he's a killer.
He is a killer, but he's been putting bad. I see he's like 170th in putting. He's always like number one in ball striking or one of them, but he's hadn't had a good putting year. So that makes a big difference in the Ryder Cup. But we'll see. You know, 1 week, these guys are all so good that, you know, you can be playing not very good and come up with one little thought, you know, before you do it and just play great.
Yep.
That's the thing. You can't, you know, all the statistics can get thrown out.
I always used to think when I would see Stenson and Martin Keimer play together, I mean, they both kind of reminded me of robots at times, but when they were both on, there was a wall there to get over.
Yeah, no question. Particularly Stenson. I mean, he's just been a ball striking machine there. For a while there, he was almost off the tour. He'd lost his game, lost his swing, but he came back and he's been one of the best ball strikers since. He's like a machine out there. So, which will be good on this golf course, I think, for their team, as long as he can make some putts. But he just hadn't been putting very well this year.
I just don't know if he'll have to take his pants off and go in the water again.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, that wasn't pretty. That was not pretty.
He's actually pretty funny. He looks stoic, but he's one of those guys that looks stoic, but he's really very funny. Keimer, I'm not so sure. He's not on the team, but he's. I don't think he's as funny. Stenson's actually really funny.
Stenson is funny, yeah. and if you get a couple beers in him, I've seen some film clips of him with a couple of pints. He's good to go.
He's good to go.
Yeah. Keimer, I think, probably wants to go eat strudel or Verbort sausage or something. I don't know, but he's tough. So overall, if I say, okay, Bruce, guess what? You're now the Ryder Cup captain, and you kind of tell me who you would pair and singles matches. Let's just go with singles because the other stuff is such a kind of a crapshoot at times. You know, when you get in two ball or best ball or anything like that, anything can happen. But kind of give me a rundown here of your singles team.
Well, you know, they each captain puts their list of their, you know, number one to the last player, you know, to play on the last day of the singles. But I think it'd be better if they could kind of go back and forth and, you know, pair people together. You know,
sure.
It's a crapshoot, so they don't know who they're going to get.
Right.
You know, I think it should be like, okay, you put your guy out and then we'll put our guy against it. Now it's our turn. We'll put our guy out. You put your guy. I think it'd be better that way. It'd be better television. You know, I'd love to see a Patrick Reed against Poulter.
Yeah.
In the last match.
Right.
Now, of course, he and
Rory.
Rory had a great, great match, you know, in 2016. So that would be a great rematch, too. But, and I think Garcia would be good against Reed, too. So any of those three would be great, but for drama.
Would you put Garcia against Woods with all that nonsense they've had over the years?
That would be interesting, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting, too. Justin Rose, he's going to be machine-like, so that wouldn't be too much. But Rahm, he's got a temper, so that would be a good one to put against, you know, somebody like a Justin Thomas. You know, that he'd be good against them. Olsen, Norin, they're not as excitable, so you know.
Yeah.
You know who's Phil going to play against on a singles match? He might be good to play against Stenson, two oldest guys. You know, playing.
I thought it'd be kind of fun to see Rahm against DeChambeau because they both have tempers, like you said.
Right.
And they've been known to fling a club or,
right,
you know, curse out something.
And they're rookies. That wouldn't be bad. That's a good thought. You know, that would be a good match, too. That'd be fun to see them both implode.
And watch the world media just go after them, which they've been known to do, too.
They could do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, these teams, because, you know, the Ryder Cup history, especially the last, four of them or so, and when you had Tom Watson as the captain, and there was some consternation between him and Phil and some other things, you know. I just thought that all kind of ended kind of poorly.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened. Tom is pretty serious. He's not the fun kind. He looks nice on TV and everything. Looks like the nice guy, but he's, from what I understand, he's pretty tough. So, although he was captaining the team that won the last time we won on,
right,
25 years ago. So, right, you know, it's how much the captain counts isn't that much, honestly. It's whether who plays good.
Yeah,
that's basically what it is. You know, so yeah, I don't know exactly what happened in there, but. It didn't go too well, honestly.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with my good friend Bruce Furman, also my coach, but he doesn't let that get out very often, right here on Grilling at the Green. Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. Dr. Dave's doing whatever it is he does. We're not sure, but he's around somewhere. We've got Bruce Furman with us from Langdon Farms. He's the director of instruction down there. And like I said, my golf coach and instructor when I actually get to play. And we're going to be talking to Bruce more in just a second about the Ryder Cup If you'd like to email us, it's golf@alphamediausa.com. We had a little trivia contest going, and we've got a couple more winners this week. We've got Michael Schmidt from Idaho and Lauren Oda from Portland. They both won some nice gifts from Seamus Golf. And so those will be in their hands in the next couple of days. And I'm going to ask you another trivia question at the end of this show. So pay attention, and you might win a gift package from Seamus Golf.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good. You can't play, though, because you're actually part of the trivia question.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you can play. So, talking about the Ryder Cup, and I don't know the actual ratings, Bruce, because I didn't check before the show, but I think the Ryder Cup gets some very large television ratings.
No question about it.
Yeah.
I don't know either, but I'll be surprised if it's not as much or more than the Masters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's right along that order, then a couple steps higher.
Right.
And that's a cool thing for me. That tells me that golf is doing well out there and people are interested.
Yeah, no question. It should be interesting, you know, about France. You know, they're one of the I forget who it was, one of the ministers or something was talking about it. He didn't think it was going to be a big deal to France.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then I've seen an article where it said it was going to really boost French play and get more people involved and so forth. So we'll see how that works. But regardless of what the French do, I think it'll be a boon to the world and obviously to the United States.
Well, they're still trying to live down the, what is it, John Vandevelde. From losing the Open a few years ago.
Dubuisson, he didn't make the team. None of those guys made the team.
Yeah.
Dubuisson, I don't know what he's been doing, but he's played good for a while. He hasn't played much here lately.
I think he's hanging out in Monaco or something.
It could be.
You know,
He got some money, and he's down on the French Riviera. Now he's hanging out, yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think on these teams are the long shots? I mean, we've got some rookies. We've got some very well-seasoned veterans here. But if you were going to say, I'm the team captain, Captain Furman, who would be the one going into it? Now, this may change once you see them play. But going into it, you'd say, well, this may be my weakest link here.
Boy, that's hard to say. I think Phil could go either way. I'm a little worried about Spieth, actually. You know, he's putting so poorly, and boy, he put it under this kind of stress. You know, of course, he hasn't putted very well. So those are two that I'm kind of worried about on our team. Their team, it's hard to say. You know, Sergio hadn't had a great year. Olsen and Norin, who knows how they're going to play. Paul Casey, he's a really good ball striker, but he's had some failures on the last round a few times here this last year or two. So he's kind of failed when the pressure's been on the most. So he's possible one that could fold a little bit. But
yeah,
you just don't know.
So what's up with Spieth? Didn't he get fined by the PGA?
Yeah, they never announced exactly.
They don't tell you what it is.
They don't tell you what it is, but they said it was all taken care of, the last thing I saw. So, yeah, I don't know, you know. And Poulter, too, I think, was in the same deal. So I don't know what all the specifics are, exactly what happened.
But, yeah.
So.
Well, just seems that, you know, a couple of years ago, Jordan could do no wrong.
Yeah. He is a golden boy, kind of. He's like the son, you know, you want your daughter to marry. You know,
yeah.
You know, the all-American boy. And he is. He's just a good
yeah,
kid.
He's a great guy.
Great kid.
But he seems to get a little rattled once in a while. And, look, when you're playing at that level for that kind of money and that kind of pressure on you, I understand completely. But some people handle it a little better than others. But he seems to get a little...
Well, he had one of the great years a couple years ago when he almost won all four majors. I mean, no one's ever done that, you know. Tiger won the Tiger Slam where he won them not in the same year, but he was close to winning all four majors in that one year at a very, I don't know what he was, 21, 22 years old. He's still young, obviously. But he just, you know, he's been up and down with his game and he's been, you know, struggling with his putting, so that scares me a little bit for our team, you know, one of those 3 or 4 or 5 footers that he's been missing some.
Yeah. Well, he'll be out there cheering him on, even if he's not on the course. He'll be.
Well, he'll be on the course, I guarantee you that. But we'll see. You never know. Again, they can make an adjustments and play great, you know, one week. You know, you just don't know.
This guy, right up there.
Ricky could have a, you know, he's been up there a lot this year, and he, you know, he's failed a little bit in the final round. He hadn't played that great in some of the final rounds, so, you know, that's a little bit of a concern, I suppose. But he's played really well, and I think he's, you know, he's going to win a major here pretty soon.
He's definitely a fan favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, no question.
We were talking about that earlier today with Steve, and we were kind of talking about sponsorships and club endorsements and this and that. And we were saying, well, TaylorMade, you know, even though Tiger's with TaylorMade, DJ's still kind of their guy and this and that and this and that. And we came to Ricky and Puma, and he said, Ricky's their guy.
Yeah.
Ricky.
Cobra.
Yeah.
Puma, yeah.
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 They're just, they're all in with him.
They're all in.
And yeah. They're doing well because of it, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how well they're doing, but they're all in with him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But like they're a smaller company.
Yeah. They're, well, you know, they originally, I think, were part of Acushnet, weren't they? And then they separated them off and all that jazz.
Right.
But he's a great representative for.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll win all the points, you know. That'll be great for him.
That will be great. Yeah. I just hope his career is not one of those where he has to wait till he's 47 and a half to, you know, get a geezer major or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he'll do well in the next 2 or 3 years.
I think
he's playing really well. Just struggled a little bit on that last round.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe he's fatigued. We don't know what these guys do between Sunday night and Thursday.
Yeah, true.
You know?
True.
I mean, they've got other commitments, corporate commitments and things
yeah,
like that.
They do. He's got a hot girlfriend. That probably takes some of his time.
I would imagine, you know? And energy. So,
yeah, it takes some of his energy out.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. But it's just kind of interesting to see that, because sometimes, you know, guys like us, we talk about it, we do this, and we watch this Sunday night, they were all dead on Sunday and this, and then the next Thursday, hundreds of times players haven't even made the cut. They're just too damn tired.
Can't happen that way. You know, they get a lot of things off the course that they have to go to, and, you know, if you haven't ever played competitive golf, you know, 4 rounds of competitive golf, just the mental strain alone is really hard. You know, you think, oh, they're out playing golf. That'd be great. You know,
yeah.
I'm fixing roofs. You know,
yeah.
How hard can that be? But for the kind of money they're playing for and the kind of stress and pressure they're putting on, it's really hard.
It's so, and I mean, I've never played at that level, but I've seen it being in the press and seeing being around them. And you see the intensity that they play at and the level they play at and all that. And if anybody says it's not, they have to hold it together longer than a guy like on the football field, because he gets to run and hit somebody.
True.
You know, or the basketball guy gets to elbow somebody or whatever. The baseball guy gets to smack the ball and run around 4 bases, and that's till the next inning. These guys have to hold it together every step of the way.
Well, if you think about the average swing takes, you know, 2 seconds, you know, actually less. And you shoot 70, what, how many seconds of golf is that? 140 seconds?
Yeah.
So they're playing golf, actually playing golf for 3 minutes, and then they're thinking about it for 3 hours and 57 minutes. So it's really a mental game. You know, there's some preparation before and after each shot. But the actual swing, you know, is only a second or 2 seconds, you know. So think how much downtime you have between each shot and what your mind can work on you, you know. And it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, that pressure is mentally really straining on those guys.
I know my mind goes to hell between the first tee box and the first 150-yard marker. it's pretty much over for me by
then. Till that beverage cart girl gets there.
Till that beverage cart comes by, and then I'm back in the game.
You're back in the saddle.
I'm back in the game there. okay, we've got I'll tell you what, we're going to do this in the next segment, because this is going to be our trivia question also for next week. So we are going to take a break, and Bruce Furman and I are going to come back, wrap up the show, talking about the Ryder Cup, and make our predictions about the FedEx Cup right after this on Grilling at the Green. Well, I had to leave town because of all the Sam's deal. My good love and done lost its appeal. But when I come back. Welcome back to Grilling at the Green, and thank you for listening here on The Game. That's what we are, 102.9 The Game. Soon, and this show will soon to be on the Radio Northwest Network. Got Bruce Furman with us here, and we're talking about the Ryder Cup and also the FedEx Cup, which will be finishing up this afternoon. And also, of course, we played you a little Paul Revere and the Raiders there. If you want to email us, it's golf@alphamediausa.com. Okay, all the good stuff's out of the way there. First of all, Bruce, before you make your predictions, I want to make sure I get this in. You've still got a Wednesday night clinic coming up.
Yes.
And that is chipping.
Chipping.
And yeah, they just need to call the pro shop?
Call the pro shop, 678-4653, and sign up. There's a couple spots open.
Okay.
And if we happen to get more than that, I'll add another clinic. So sometimes I start out with one at 5 to 6, and then I go, if I get more people, which I have. In the past clinics, I've had 15, so I've added a six to seven and a four to five. So,
well, you're a busy guy.
So sign up. We'll get you in.
Well, I'll do that. And I can tell you that I have done a number of those with Bruce, and they're always quite informative, and yet they're not so big that you get lost. He pays very good individual attention to all the participants in his clinic there. So recommend it. Again, you can call the clubhouse down at Langdon Farms. It's 678, that's 503 area code, 678-4653, which happens to spell golf, if you didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
It does. All right. So now we're going to talk Bruce's. Let's talk about the FedEx Cup first. Okay.
Okay.
That'll be over this afternoon after this show airs.
Well, first round.
But this show airs Sunday morning.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
So, okay. Now I confused you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's easy to do.
Pick one for me.
Who will win? Who's going to win?
Yeah.
You know, the good thing about the leaderboard right now is it's mostly made up of our Ryder Cup players, so we're looking good right now. Ricky Fowler, Gary Woodland's hard to, he might break through. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Tiger wins.
I'm with you.
Tiger wins. And then has a great Ryder Cup.
I'm with you on that. That's, I was going to pick Tiger myself. I'm going to say that. And I'm going to watch the media world explode.
He needs the $10 million. He's only worth, about $1
billion. Yeah.
So he needs that $10
million. Well, it slipped a little bit. He dropped down. Yeah. Now, so Bruce and I are in agreement. We're both picking Tiger to win down there at Eastlake. But now let's go to the Ryder Cup. So what's your final... Which team and final score?
I think it's going to be tough for us, but I'm going to still pick us because USA all the way.
Yeah. You know?
I think we win by a point or two.
Okay. Bruce got point two there. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say USA. I wouldn't dare say anything else around here. I'd get shot. I'm going to say USA, and I'm going to say we are going to do the under and over on this. I'm going to say we're going to win by two and a half to three and a half points. How's that?
Okay.
That's going to be the trivia question. So people have to pay attention because next week, when going to have to answer this.
Answer.
Yeah. Well,
Who'd we pick?
And then
they got a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, they do on that one. They got no shot at it on the FedEx thing because we both picked the same guy.
Right.
But on the Ryder Cup, they can. Maybe we'll ask him the point spread.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll ask him the point spread because you're 1-2 and I'm 2.5-3.5. So okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what they.
It'll narrow them down.
We'll narrow
them
down.
They're really paying attention.
See if they are.
Yeah.
This show airs at 7:00 on Sunday morning. Not that many people are paying attention.
You gotta have two or three cups of coffee.
Yeah. Well, they can always go back and listen to it on the podcast version.
Yeah.
And that's what's I've noticed. That's what some of the winners, they do.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me they're up that time of day. So they're going back and listening.
Oh, that's great. It's on that podcast.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hit the mic there. You're our number one downloaded show.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Bruce Furman, I don't remember which show because you've been on a couple, three times, but besides your weekly tips and stuff, but you're the number one downloaded show on the golf show.
I don't know what that means. Is that two or three people or?
Oh, no. That's 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
I didn't know I had that many people paying attention.
Yeah. We're going to have to get you some 8x10 glossy pictures and you can sign them.
Nice.
Do that.
Yeah.
That'll work.
I'll have to remember how to sign my name.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to see my handwriting. Look like a dyslexic turtle or something that's just spinning around there. But anyway.
Yeah. That's great. Great.
Yeah. Well, we got to get out of here. And so remember our picks. Bruce and I both picked Tiger. for the one in the FedEx Cup and the East Lake there. And then we both got USA, but our point spread is Bruce's from 1 to 2 points and mine's from 2.5 to 3.5.
Remember that so you can win.
You got to do that.
There you go.
Also, check out LangdonFarms.com. Go to the pro shop. Bruce has got a nice write-up there about him, about his history and his resume, so to speak, there. And go book a lesson with this guy. You might learn something.
I've made it this far, so I think I've helped a few people.
You have. And like I always say, you tolerate me, so that's the best thing. We got to get out of here for the week. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with another edition of Grilling at the Green. Until then, take care, everybody.
Grilling at the Green is produced by JTSD Productions in association with Alpha Media USA. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved. Always keep your backswing steady and your foot wedge ready.